Coulson, sir.
Yeah.
Your service, President. Would you get everybody out of town all right?
Well, no, I think we got a few here in town.
Henry left in Haldeman, didn't he?
Henry has left. I didn't know about Bob.
He was going to the West Coast today, too.
I thought he was.
Trying to get earlier. Take off 4 or 5 days, too, because...
No, Henry...
He works so goddamn hard and seldom gets off.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Good for Bob to get out sometimes, too. So fine.
But no, I was talking to Henry when you called in, so you can, right after you and I talk, so...
Fine.
I never got to finish the conversation with him, but I think I made the point.
Fine. Well, he was in good shape.
I think he understood it.
And I just said for him, I said, the main thing is just not say anything.
Right.
You know, he's going out there to Palm Springs. I said, right now, just hold your fire. There'll be a time. We'll have a time when we're ready.
Well, I had Corson and Scally in, and I worked them over this afternoon trying to get their best judgment. I think they're both... level-headed fellows. Neither one of them feel we should do anything this week.
This week?
That's right.
That's right. Well, that's the point, and that's what I want you to tell everybody.
Right.
Ziegler won't have a problem, but Warren, just don't comment on a damn thing.
Right.
They don't need to. Business that right now with the, we're going out to the Truman thing tomorrow. So
that helps, actually, Mr. President. I think
to a certain extent, it diverts to another story. You know, it's always a question of what the hell's a story. It was the earthquake for a couple of days,
yep.
And now it's the Truman thing for a couple of days, and then they get back, well, what's new in Vietnam? And there's nothing new.
Well, you see, what the Truman thing does something else important. The Truman thing shows you out front. I mean, you'll be on television tomorrow night going to the funeral. And the one point that I think Scally and Corson made that is a valid point, I hadn't thought of it, frankly, is that the public hasn't seen you active quite enough. In other words, it's a good feeling for the public to see the president, and they know the president is there, and he's in charge, and
mm-hmm.
he's in command. And
I won't be saying anything, of course.
You don't need to. It's just
the funeral, because I don't believe in saying it until after.
No.
The family's had a chance to say what they want to say.
Of course, your statement today has run beautifully.
Yeah, well, that's run, see.
Yeah. No, but it isn't so much saying anything. It's just that you're there representing all of the American people at the funeral or at a memorial service for
for
a dead president.
That's all you need to do.
Yeah, but that's good, because
we're in charge.
That's right. The news Thursday then, of course, is the funeral again, and there'll be documentaries on Truman's life. Now you're to the weekend when everybody is...
The weekend, you know damn well, is going to be football.
Totally. Just like this weekend was.
This one even more with the Rose Bowl. You see, the bowl games come mm-hmm. New Year's Day, so you've really got Saturday, you've got Sunday and Monday both blocked.
Right, exactly. And Saturday people are taking either, they're partying or they're...
It's the weekend.
Yeah, it's the weekend. And
they both agreed Henry should not say anything.
Yes, they both agreed.
That's
Henry should not,
because
Rogers should not.
Well, Rogers can't. I mean, there isn't right to have him have to do anything. And I don't think and Laird, I think nothing. Let the thing, I'll tell you, the other reason is that there are, frankly, things going on we can't talk about. We just, right now, we're playing a very tough poker game.
Yep.
And I'd rather, and if we can avoid saying anything, it's better.
Mm-hmm.
I think we better just ride it right through. See my point?
Yes, sir. I've talked to Timmons. He says that his people are just scattered all over the hell and gone. He can't reach them even to talk to them. So his attitude is that we're going to hear nothing out of the Congress for the next week.
Until they get back.
Until they get back. And then if there's no change in the situation, they'll raise a lot of hell next week. But
that's right. That's all right.
And so be it.
It'll be different. I mean, there'll be something happening.
It was a good suggestion.
They're not going to be just... The main point is, you see, we can't talk about you or anybody else what may develop, because nobody knows.
No.
But you can be damn sure we're never not thinking.
Oh.
And I'm usually thinking of some things Henry may not be thinking of. But go ahead.
Well, the other point that I don't know whether Clausen or Scully came up with, but it's kind of an interesting one. They had the feeling that if in the course of the next week or next week, something like that POWIs, not POWs, but any kind of an event where you could drop in and say something on the subject of Vietnam in a controlled circumstance that the networks would have to carry, that this would be useful. Beyond that, they don't, I mean, they totally agree that it would have been a mistake to speak to the country.
Beyond that, though, if If, on the other hand, we have an event, a development,
that
knocks that out.
That's right.
You shouldn't speak if there's a development. If there's no development, then you have to speak.
Well, their feeling, and I think...
You see my point?
Yes, sir.
That's what I have in mind.
No, their point, and I...
You don't go out yakking and you're defensive as hell then.
That's right. No, and they agree that it would have been bad for you to speak to the nation up to now, and it would be bad now. And it would be bad next week because it would escalate it into too much of a controversy. Their only point, and I share this, is that if there's no substantive development by the middle of next week, then the American people need some explanation of why it is we're continuing to bomb, and that it isn't simply an exercise in trying to decimate a country. There's reasons for it, and that could be best stated if you had a...
It's too damn bad we aren't decimating the country. We're doing one hell of a lot, but... Their war-making capabilities, as I told you, are really... they've been clobbered this time because I decided that if we had to take this move, I told them that's what I had more up there for. I said, now look here. May 8th, we mined, we bombed. We did a hell of a lot, and it set them back a year. It says, now we're going to set them back 2 years. the targets they've had have been really something. Everything except, of course, we're avoiding civilians.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even with all the screaming about civilians, believe me, if we were trying, the goddamn place would be leveled.
Oh, sure.
Leveled.
God, yes. Yeah. Well, I think I think the only point that the more I've thought about this all day and talked to people and gotten reactions, the only point is the one Sendlinger made this weekend. I think he's absolutely right that at some point, and not
somebody's got to explain it.
Somebody's got to simply say, "Well, here's the
Let us suppose that there are several possibilities. One, there is the possibility, and it's only a possibility, that the North Vietnamese decide to talk again. I mean, to negotiate again.
Right. That takes care of itself.
That's basically like going to Moscow after May 8th.
Exactly. Deeds speak louder than words.
Well, but mainly they talk, in spite of the... I mean, you hit them, and they said, all right, we'll talk.
Yeah, most people will think it's because we hit them that they talk.
Yeah. They'll be totally right.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, they may not. If they don't, then you go to another option, which we don't talk about, and that is that we then come up with a new plan on the POW side, bomb POW, so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that will... I think the American people would bomb for a generation to get the POWs back.
No question about it.
Don't you agree?
Yeah, you're 3-1.
And when I put that on, particularly after I say it, because we'll say, here they are, and we don't offer anything, we'll get out, we'll withdraw all our forces, we will stop the bombing, we will stop the mining, you must return our POWs, and all we will do is to assist the South Vietnamese to the extent you receive assistance from your allies, period.
That is so fair.
Now, that'll devastate them, I'll tell you.
Well, there you'll get 75-80% approval, and
that's why 15. I'm not too anxious that they come back and negotiate, but if they negotiate, of course... Well, I don't know. That's the best thing, actually.
If it leads to something, is the best thing. Yep.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yep.
That's what I mean. If they negotiate, but you understand, we will not accept the negotiation unless it's on conditions that'll end it.
No, that's the key.
Believe us.
Just to prolong.
No more. No more. No. There'll be one more. No more. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
No, I think you're...
But in any event, it's one of those things. It's a tough decision. It's a hard thing to do, and so forth. But in the end, people appreciate the fact that you do the tough things. I mean, I think of that poor damn Truman. I mean, we still have approval over 50%. We will of course, we just finished an election, but even now we will. But that poor Truman went down to 32.
That's right.
At one point. And
in an election,
and he was right.
Yeah.
He was right in what he was doing. I mean, I frankly kicked the shit out of him, but he was right.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't kick him about that. That's when I kicked him about his case where he was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But he was right about Korea, and I praise him for it. He was only wrong in not bombing north of the Yalu, which he...
Well, that's exactly right.
Well, good. But how is Scully in good frame to go up to the UN? He must be tickled to death.
Oh, he's
that is really a hell of a thing for him.
I'm not sure he's been walking on the ground. I think he's been...
Really?
I think he's still about 2 feet off.
Well, you know, he's... Henry, as you know, fought this tooth and nail.
I know.
Between you and me.
Oh, eh?
He just fought it, and we finally said, all right, Henry, what do you want? Do you want him there, or do you want him in Ziegler's office briefing on foreign policy?
Oh, he's getting to New York.
We scared. Don't tell Scally.
Oh, no.
And he says, I said, look, I have confidence. He says, I have none. He says, Scally leaks, and he's got the goddamnedest figments. He thinks that Scally leaked to Timmy. He even said he thought you leaked to Timmy. I said, oh, no. I said, no, you didn't. Of course, I hope you did. But in any event, the point is, he has this obsession that Scally is a State Department fellow and leaks against him.
Oh, I know.
Now, Scally does everything because it's going to help me. That's all.
That's all he does. The only times that Scally has ever put anything out is when
Scally is. Scally's been great, but I'll tell you, he'll be a hell of an ambassador to the UN. He'll cut a swath up there, such as Cabot Lodge, with his stiffness. And George Bush, who's a very sweet guy, but not a tough guy. Mm-hmm. Scally's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you agree?
Oh, he's tough as nails. He's hard. Mm-hmm. He'll do a hell of a job.
And he's really, and you have no question about his loyalty to our policies.
No.
He knows about the need for the tough policies, doesn't he?
Well, he's more hawkish than a lot of people around here. Oh, hell yes. I mean,
that's good. Well, he knows. He's been around the world.
Well, back at the point when there was concern about whether we were going to abandon too, Scally said, this is the only thing I couldn't stand. He said, I couldn't see us do that. No, he's a realist. And he never leaks except when he's told to. I mean, when he goes out and does what he's told. John Scally's been a damn good soldier.
I know. And
Henry is, of course, paranoid.
He's paranoid about others, and he's the one that does all the talking himself.
Well, I didn't get to see him today because Chuck Percy was too busy seeing Percy.
Was Percy in today?
Sure, to see Henry Kissinger. And I thought to myself,
I can't believe it.
Well, he's just back from a trip to Asia, so he came in to report to Henry. Well,
this is
Henry's problem, you know.
You're building Percy up for the presidency.
Well,
for
Henry,
God's sakes, we have a rule he's not to see Percy.
Well,
we have a rule.
Henry is positively compulsive this way, and then when anything is said negative, he just... He's, of course, I'm worried about that Harris poll, although I've toned it way down because I know he'll think I inspired that, which...
Oh, no,
I didn't.
No. Let him worry about that one. But listen, in fairness, let me say, if I give you if I call about in 4 or 5, if we get any kind of a break on the negotiating side, and I don't expect one either way, I'm neither pessimistic or optimistic, but anything comes, I believe that Harris deserves knowing it before he puts that poll out, though. You understand?
Yeah, it'll be, well, that's right.
When is his day?
Well, he mails the damn thing this Wednesday for use next Thursday, but only the newspaper people have it, and I, of course, get a smuggled copy. Nobody will have it.
He mails it, mails it tomorrow, then.
He mails it tomorrow for use a week from Thursday.
Well, is it on Henry?
Only part, yeah. Part of it's on Henry. It's a profile on him. Part of it's on the public approval of your handling of Vietnam.
And well, it'll be all right, because basically it'll shake Henry a little, even if.
Well, most of it's 61% of the American people think he's a superbly skilled negotiator. I got Lou to put all the positive stuff up in the lead so that...
But they thought he'd misled them a little, huh?
But he thought the 42 to 39 felt that they had misled...
That isn't bad.
Well, no.
Really?
Well, I think he himself realizes that that particular phrase, which I don't think he intended to highlight, but it was...
And actually he believed it at the time.
Sure.
Well, that's the problem.
That's right. So it isn't...
They'll never say it again, I tell you.
Well, it got him out on a hell of a limb. Yeah, that's a lesson.
Well,
a lesson a negotiator has to
learn. I've been trying to get back off of it ever since, you know, and thank God that Thursday speech of mine is going to look good in the history books.
Yes, it is. And I think the other thing, Mr. President, that
Harris doesn't think, though, that this same thing rubs off that much. I mean, it'll rub off some, you know, because after all, I picked Kissinger, and he's my man, and I back him totally.
No, he doesn't think it rubs off at all, because he thinks that Kissinger has has assiduously cultivated a separate identity. And so he does not think it rubs
off. Well, he does? Mm-hmm. He thinks he's cultivated a separate identity.
Yeah, he does.
I'll be damned.
He says he's gone to great lengths to, all this... gay living is part of creating the romantic image.
In other words, apart from the administration. That's then you got to pay.
Then you pay the price. And he's got that in the poll, that the people look askance at his social life, but then they, of course, think he's brilliant. It's a good analysis. It isn't. There's nothing unfair in it. It's just that Henry's so damn sensitive. I know on that Timmish thing, my God, he conducted a full-scale investigation. It so happened.
Well, the Timmish article was not that bad, was it?
No, it was not bad at all.
It was really, what was it, saying that Henry had...
Well, it said that he had misunderstood the problem, you had understood it, and had to pull him back and straighten him out. Well, there's some truth in that. I mean, and that could be gotten just from reading the really what you said and what Kissinger said. It was nothing.
But he read one insignificant columnist whom he does not respect.
Yep.
And
had
Christ, on the other hand,
had him in for an hour.
Kraft and these other people, for Christ's sakes.
Well, Braden. Awful. But
on this business of Percy, I can't believe. Can you find out how much time he spent with him?
Yes, sir. I can find out. Brief.
Call over there at the office and call me back, will you?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to know.
I'll find out right now.
See if Haldeman's left on us. I want to report him on this. That I have an order out on.
I think
to see the son of a bitch.
When I called...
I have an absolute rule on this, on Percy. He's frozen.
When I called to just before he was leaving, and they said that he was busy, and then John Skelly ran into Percy waiting, walking into his office. Skelly was trying to get the Kissinger.
Okay.
So I
call
I know
you back.
There. I'll find out and call you back. Yes, sir.